Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday the 23rd of October 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, unfortunately, I have not heard from Dennis for the last couple of weeks. I hope he is okay. As I mentioned last week, he is now getting treatment for his condition. I just hope that he is okay, and maybe he's on some kind of pain relief, and that's why he hasn't been in touch. As soon as I do hear from him, I will put a message on one of the podcasts if I hear from him before the end of the week. But that means that I don't have a co-host for tonight. So what I've done, I've recycled a couple of previous Truthful Out Radio episodes. And what I've been looking for is somebody that we've talked about in various episodes that I could put together into one. And I thought Alfred Rosenberg would be a good idea. So we have two half-hour sections to do with Alfred Rosenberg that I've put together into one podcast for tonight. And the first one concerns a video where we debunked an anti-Hitler video that misused a lot of Alfred Rosenberg's work. So unfortunately, I don't have new content for you tonight, but for new listeners, this will be new to them. And for old listeners, it will be a chance to hear all the information on Alfred Rosenberg condensed into one podcast. So I will leave you with that playing now. And this first one that I've got here, I thought was particularly interesting because it's a 10-minute video that you were asked to debunk, and I thought we could take a look at that. And the comments actually sent in by Divine Soldier Archives, and they sent this in two weeks ago, and they say, "Nice work, Dennis. I am a big fan of your work. I wanted to ask if you can please make a refutation of this video and all the points and footage that it shows." And the video is actually called God and Hitler. It's about 10 minutes long. So what I've done, I've cut out some of the audio clips from it that we can expand upon. But just before we get into that, I mean, when people address these comments, it would be helpful if they actually, you know, said exactly what points it is that they want going into, rather than just say the whole video. Because there's a lot in there, isn't there?
A lot of garbage, I can guarantee you that one.
Well, there's certainly a lot of garbage, but it would help if they said, you know, can you tell us about Balder von Schirach or Alfred Rosenberg or, you know, the specific parts of the video rather than the whole video. Because sometimes you get longer ones as well, I've noticed. People ask you to say something about a video that's an hour long, and you think, well, what is the exact part of it? Because we've gone over a lot of this stuff before, haven't we?
We have, and no doubt we'll go over it again.
But I think in this one, there is some new information here that we haven't discussed before. And then I think listeners, it will be new to listeners as well. So unless you want to say something about this video before we start going into the clips, is there anything else you'd like to say about it, Dennis?
Well, this is one of the worst ones I've seen, to be honest, for outright lies and propaganda. If anybody, you know, thinks for a minute that they want to hide the fact that Jeremy was really Christian, then just watch this video, because this is just pure propaganda and lies.
And it was put out by evangelical Christians, I believe. It's an evangelical Christian channel, so it's going to be Zionist Christians, Judeo-Christians supporting Jews rather than Christianity.
Anything but Christians, yeah.
Well, let's play the first clip, and then we'll address that.
From his earliest speeches, Hitler invoked God, a smart political move in the mostly Christian nation of Germany. One of his most public shows of solidarity with the church was the signing of the Nazi Vatican Concordat in 1933.
That pact was that the Catholic Church would support Adolf Hitler politically, and Hitler would make sure they had freedom of religion. Hitler in 1933 said wonderful things about Christianity. He even said he hated atheism and wanted to get rid of it in the country. So Hitler was truly a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he did pull the wool over the Catholic Church.
So if Hitler wasn't a Christian, why did he go to so much trouble to win the support of the church? As one writer put it, he knew Christians would interfere with his plans if they weren't hoodwinked first.
Well, that's the first clip. And I don't understand how he can say, you know, as if he pulled the wool over their eyes and claimed that he was going to fight against atheism. I mean, how many men did Germany lose in battle against atheistic communism fighting in the East?
Exactly. And how many did they kill?
Just, and, you know, they say that he put on this persona of being a Christian, but you can't pretend to be a Christian, can you? It's not that he was saying, I'm a Christian, everyone else should be Christian. He got rid of usury. He got everybody back to work. He made it central that, the needs of the nation came before the greed of the individual, which is love thy neighbor as yourself. I mean, he put this into practice and showed by example. So they couldn't pull the wool over anyone's eyes, could they?
Well, the thing is, you look at his actions specifically in the Spanish Revolution, where without his intervention, and of course Mussolini's, Spain would have gone down. Franco would have got beaten. So that's one Christian nation saved. Germany itself was saved when the communists tried to overtake it after World War One. Hitler would have played his part in that, I'm sure. So he knew the dangers of Bolshevism and atheism, and he also knew what it was to be a Catholic, because he was an actual altar boy and top of the class at the same time.
Well, they're trying to make out that he sort of pulled the wool over the Catholic Church's eyes, but, you know, as we've shown in the last few episodes, I mean, he was doing the Catholic Church's bidding, getting rid of the communists in there and the liberals and the traditionalists. Yes. Thought he was fantastic. So really this video does try to put across a lot of unsubstantiated information. And this next clip that I've got talks about somebody that we often hear the pagans talk about as well, actually. So just have a listen to this second one.
What you won't hear in history class is that Hitler wasn't just out to eliminate the Jews. He wanted to get rid of Christianity as well. Hitler youth leader Baldur von Schirach admitted the destruction of Christianity was explicitly recognized as a purpose of the National Socialist movement.
But how could it be if it's part of the 25 principles? It's based on Christian values. I mean, that was the Constitution. Christianity was a part of the Constitution. So how could they say that...
Well, Germany was a Christian country. I mean, I don't know what these guys are on about. I mean, they're more Catholics than Protestants, but it was a Christian, you know.
Well, I've got some information here on this Baldur von Schirach, because he was the head of... the Hitler Youth. So he was a fairly important person, and he is often put forward as pagans, as being a supporter of paganism. And what they're saying there is that Baldur von Schirach said the point of the movement was to get rid of all the Christians, and they were going to wipe out all the Christians. And obviously the guy saying it believes that all these Jews were gassed. So it's implied there that they were going to massacre all the Christians. And this is what, the Holy Reich has to say about him. It says, Schirach, head of the Hitler Youth and Reich Youth leader, have been widely regarded as one of the main exponents of an anti-Christian paganism within the Nazi Party. Even the party leadership expressed concern about him. In a discussion among Hitler, Hans Schemm and Otto Wagner in the Kampfzeit, Hitler poured his usual derision on paganism. All that rubbish about the Thing places, the solstice festivals, the Midgard snake. Schemm agreed with Hitler. I'm very glad to hear you say this. There is such a lot of nonsense talked about the cult of Wotan and the spirit of the Edda. These idiotic windbags have no idea what their spouting causes. Referring to these paganistic rites, Wagner pointed out that they were known to happen in the Hitler Youth. Hitler suggested that these could have beneficial consequences as they brought German youth into nature to show them the powerful workings of divine creation. They also served a moral purpose by keeping youth out of saloons and airless dives. Wagner maintained that the youth leaders must not fall into the error of wanting to turn this into a religion. Hitler reassured him, "Don't worry, they won't." As a private conversation, this could hardly have allayed the fears of the churches, especially the Catholic Church, which believed that in Chirac they had found a definite enemy of Christianity. Chirac did little to pacify clerical opinion. At a December 1933 speech in Braunschweig, he made a promise. The newly enrolled members of the Hitler Youth will not ask of their comrades, "Are you Protestant?" or "Are you Catholic?" Only, "Are you German?" Taken in isolation, this passage would seem to offer ample evidence that the church's fears were justified. However, in the same speech, Chirac insisted he was not anti-Christian. "They say of us that we are an anti-Christian movement. They even say that I am an outspoken paganist. I solemnly declare here, before the German public, that I stand on the basis of Christianity. But I declare just as solemnly that I will put down every attempt to introduce confessional matters into our Hitler Youth." And confessional matters means either Protestant or Catholic. It means sectarian division. The church's fears were, in one sense, well-founded. Chirac made no hesitation to publicly proclaim an anti-confessional and anti-clerical position. However, as with so many others in the party elite, Chirac demonstrated his belief that Christianity and the churches were not the same thing. Chirac gave further indication of his religious views in a poem he wrote in 1934 called Christ. He considered himself the poet laureate of the Nazi movement, even publishing a collection of his work. In it, we see not just the warrior Christ of Volkisch Christianity, but the suffering Christ of conservative Christian doctrine. If today he descended from heaven, the great warrior who struck the money changers, you would once again shout, "Crucify," and nail him to the cross that he himself carried. But he would gently laugh at your hatred. The truth remains even when your bearers are past. Faith remains because I give my life. And the fighter of all the world towers on the cross. And that's, you know, that's one of the major pagans there that people put forward as one of the major pagans that wanted to get rid of Christianity. And that was the extent of him wanting to get rid of Christianity. It was not liking the clericalism, basically. Not Christianity itself.
Yeah, well, if you were like that, Himmler was like that, weren't he? And I think he was another one. But Hitler stayed with it all the way. I mean, he spoke well of Christ right up to the end.
Well, what we're just sort of showing here is there were some that were against Christianity or against the churches, but not as much as is alleged. Like, he certainly didn't want to execute Christians. He just didn't want there to be the division. Because they'd always had a problem with Catholics and Protestants fighting amongst each other, the same as we had Northern Ireland. Yeah. And that was what, you know, one of the things that Hitler really wanted to do was get rid of all of that and have one church. And rightly or wrongly, he looked at the Church of England as a good example, that there was a national church and he wanted to have a national German church. And unfortunately, there was just too much squabbling and that idea sort of fell by the wayside. But that played into it a lot as well. And this anti-clericalism.
Yeah, but he spoke well of the Catholic Church, you know, and its construction of everything, you know, even the Jesuits again, you know, he looked at them as an organisation which he could base his own, you know, strategy and party on. So, you know, he certainly felt that, as with the British Empire as well, he spoke of that at one point, to say that both the Catholic Church and the British Empire is needed to, in a way, to lay the foundations and the roads for the populations.
Well, it's definitely, I mean, he supported England, didn't he? And the British Empire.
Yeah, rightly or wrongly. I mean, you know, maybe if I had the internet, might not have, but you know, that particular point, yeah. Many friends in England, many powerful friends, and was hoping that his Saxon cousins, if you like, would join in the fight with Bolsheviks. But obviously, Jews got the better and they even got rid of the king.
Too brainwashed. Well, hopefully that debunks this idea that Baudelaire Chirac wanted to massacre all the Christians. And the next clip I've got, again, it features another famous character.
And here's Nazi leader Alfred Rosenberg, a member of Hitler's inner circle.
I am absolutely clear in my own mind, and I think I can speak for the Führer as well, that both the Catholic and Protestant churches must vanish from the life of our people.
And there you see that that's somebody talking in American, first off. I don't think that was...
Yeah.
I don't think Rosenberg spoke English like that in an American accent. But they're saying there that that was his views, that the church had to be got rid of. And again, I've got...
Yeah, American propaganda said the same thing.
Total propaganda. I've got a piece here. Again, this is from the same book, The Holy Reich. And this is all about Rosenberg. And it says, although Hitler was known for tailoring his remarks to please his audience, even in Rosenberg's presence, he was less than enthusiastic. Before publishing it, Rosenberg asked Hitler for his opinion of the book. And this is the Myth of the 20th Century, the famous book that he wrote. 6 months after receiving the manuscript, Hitler still had not read it. Hitler coolly replied, "It is a very clever book, only I ask myself, who today is likely to read and understand such a book?" It was a reflection of the insecurity of Rosenberg's position that he replied by asking whether he should suppress it or even resign party office. Hitler supposedly said no to both, maintaining that Rosenberg had a right to publish his book as it was his intellectual property. However, on later occasions, Hitler would express regret that Rosenberg had written the book in the first place. According to Albert Speer, Hitler referred to it as stuff nobody can understand, written by a narrow-minded Baltic German who thinks in horribly complicated terms, a relapse into medieval notions. On another occasion, Hitler made reference to its heretical outpourings. In rare moments, Rosenberg even admitted to himself that Hitler ultimately rejected his religion. Hitler set his face from the beginning against racial cultism. Although it is true that Rosenberg's mythos sold hundreds of thousands of copies, this figure is not a real reflection of its popularity. As another of Rosenberg's biographers points out, secondary schools and institutions of higher education were required to have copies in their libraries, but to what extent these were read cannot now be estimated. We can therefore safely discount Robert Poy's assertion that Rosenberg's view of religion was widely held by most committed National Socialists. So that's the academic view, is that his views and his book were not widely held by National Socialists at all. I mean, Hitler mocked it, and he did assure Hitler that he wasn't trying to set up a new religion. I think we had a quote the other week, didn't we, Dennis, where Hitler was saying how what a horrible thought of people praying to him or seeing him as Saint Hitler at some point in the future. And he was really shocked at that. And
I think he apologised to the Vatican as well for Rosenberg's book as well. He assured him it weren't part of policy.
It was, it was very, very complicated. It's an interesting book. It is an interesting book, but it's not something that people could really understand that easily, I don't think. I mean, putting it in schools and colleges and... What business is it of his what the churches do either? He really wasn't anything to do with the church. He was responsible for philosophy. Now have a listen to this next clip and see where they take this.
In 1933, the German economy was in free fall, with unemployment over 30%. Germany was a nation in need of a savior, and Adolf Hitler decided that he would be the one to fill that role. As Hitler grew more powerful, his religious tolerance disappeared, and he tried to replace Christianity with a new Reich Church, a religion in which there was no God but Hitler.
And that's just complete nonsense. The Reich Church, as we said, it was supposed to be, it was the Protestant Church, and it was uniting the Lutherans and the Calvins and all these different strands of Protestantism under one church, the Reich Church, and that failed. It wasn't any attempt to change religion and make Hitler out to be the Messiah. That's
well,
that's
funny enough, I mentioned that in this added work I've done this week on Part 19, where they said, you know, there is a, you know, they do say that Hitler was trying to change religion and make himself the god. And all it was, in fact, was, you know, he realized that there were some or many corruptions in the Bible, and had they won the war, in fact, they already started making changes, but had they won the war, they would have gone completely through it and corrected the corruptions. And that would have been that positive Christianity. You know, at the end of the day, you know, they lost the war, and now there's nobody to speak on their behalf, and so all these people come in, start making their own minds up, and propaganda rules the day.
Well, that was the point of positive Christianity, wasn't it? The point of it was to de-Judaize Christianity. Don't forget, Judaizing was the first heresy. That was it. It was trying to make Christianity Jewish, and at the state we're in today, it's very Jewish. It needs de-Judaizing, and that was all they were trying to do, is get back to Christianity.
I'll make a couple of examples of their corruptions so that people can understand what Hitler was meaning. Because when you say to some people that Christ wasn't a Jew, you know, they've been that indoctrinated that there's quite a look of shock on their face and disbelieving. But it'll show it in Part 19.
Yeah, we discussed that last week, didn't we? The fact that he's not a Jew, that was their firmly held belief that he was an Aryan. And also there's some of the language that was used in the translations. I mean, again, we talked last week about how Gentile actually means nation. It doesn't mean an individual. Uh-huh. And you've discovered that bit about the bit that was at the foot of the cross, didn't you, Dennis?
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, if people might wonder, because it's so blatant when you see it, why it hasn't been changed, because for centuries it's read wrong. And the problem is, if they change that, then they would have to change all words connected to Judea and Judah, which would probably eliminate the word Jew completely.
And also the Jews would lose their position, their exalted position as the chosen ones. We can't have that. We can't have that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not in the boot, can't be chosen, can you really?
Well, let's move on to the next clip.
And since every religion needs a house of worship, Hitler developed a 30-point plan for the new National Reich Church. It was even published in the New York Times in 1942. Among the rules, no pastors, chaplains, or priests were allowed to speak in church. Only National Reich orators. All Bibles and pictures of saints were removed from the church altars and replaced with copies of Mein Kampf. The cross was also removed and replaced with the swastika.
Sounds shocking, doesn't it? And they say that Hitler did that. Hitler did that, according to him.
It's ridiculous, wasn't it? Exactly.
It's nonsense. Basically, what they've done there, they've said the National Reich Church. Now, it was the Reich Church that was the Protestant church that Hitler was trying to get together, not the National Reich Church. Now, there's a 30-point plan that was written by Rosenberg for a National Reich Church. And I don't know if this was just an idea that Rosenberg had that he jotted down, but that certainly wasn't the Reich Church, and it certainly wasn't anything to do with Hitler, because it goes against the National Socialist Constitution. So what they've done is they've taken this bit from history that people do know about, which is about the Reich Church, and they've mixed that together with Rosenberg's 30-point plan for a National Reich Church. And they've tried to sell it to the public that the Reich Church, you know, the Lutherans and the Calvinists all getting together into one church, that was going to be their principles. So it's very sneaky, because you just got that word there, national, that's stuck in there. Yeah. And obviously they've swapped Rosenberg around for Hitler. And I've been digging around all afternoon trying to find out more information on this, but there is just these principles that are attributed to Rosenberg, and that's it. I don't think it's even mentioned in this book, the Holy Reich, that I've got here. So, I mean, it may be spurious.
No.
Or it may just be, you know, in Rosenberg's imagination that he just wrote this down. But I don't think it ever saw fruition. And it couldn't do, because it goes against, as I say, it goes against the Constitution to remove the Bible and put, you know, Hitler, put Mein Kampf in there instead. I mean, Hitler would have been absolutely horrified at that. deifying him.
Sure,
he would. Because he didn't want to make a religion out of it, did he? I mean, he was adamant that National Socialism should not be a religion.
He keeps showing that poster, I mean, that the armour of what they call now the
Teutonic Knights.
We're working on Jesuits all day, so I forgot about Teutonic Knights. Yeah, I mean, and he's obviously dressed representing the Teutonic Knights, which is what it is, Catholic military, and he's been then portrayed as thinking he's God in this armour, which is ridiculous.
And he had humility. He was a humble man. He certainly thinking that he was God. Let's move on to the next clip.
Now that Hitler had set up his own Reich religion, it was time to get rid of the competition. And while his persecution of the Jews was well known, his final solution for Christians remained a secret for more than four decades.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II.
We can just cut that there, can't we? An American spy agency.
Supposed to believe that,
eh? The report was compiled by the American spy agency. I mean,
you must believe it.
Psych warfare. Didn't the OSS become psych warfare, didn't it? And they were responsible for putting the shrunken heads and the lampshades. And they were the ones responsible for all the fakery to do with the so-called Holocaust that they put in the camps and then used them as exhibits. Psych warfare in the OSS.
The car boot sales,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it did look like it come out the back of a car boot sale. So it's telling us that that's where this report came from. And that, you know, that totally discredits it, along with this idea that Hitler created a new religion when all he was doing was bringing the Protestants together. And Rosenberg's idea for a new religion was just that. It was just Rosenberg's. It was an idea in his head. Let's listen to the next clip.
The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
The problem with all that is that, you know, a lot of the members of the National Socialist Party were high-ranking church members. Because they could see that National Socialism was a political expression of Christianity, you know, they had all joined up. They wanted to be a part of it. So if he tried to get rid of all the Christians, he would have had nobody left in the party. You know, that's the thing.
We know that there's only one set of people trying to get rid of the Christians. I mean, Hungry, Bellicum, ruling power for 3 months, God knows how many millions of Christians he killed. You know, the Christians after the war in Germany. There's only one set of people still doing it today. And we know this. And so, you know, they'll do anything to cover it up because it makes the job easier.
And if that had been a genuine document, it would have been used at Nuremberg, if there had been any truth to it. Plans to massacre all the Christians. You see, they built it all up from this quote supposedly from Balder von Schirach, the guy at the beginning, and they just add little bits of truth, and then they add different names to it and exaggerate it to come out with something that's, you know, completely the opposite of what actually happened.
That's right. It's the old adage: if you can't find a skeleton in the cupboard, you put one there.
Yeah,
that's all they've done.
Yeah, got one final clip from this program to play now.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest, but a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested.
Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
Well, they had to have been communists or partisans, terrorists, for that to have happened to them. And the bit at the beginning there where he says, well, they were all too frightened to protest. I mean, that's their excuse. Nobody was protesting because Hitler had created an economic miracle. He'd got everybody back to work and he was instituting Christian tradition. What was there to protest about? This is why people were in tears of joy when they saw him appear anywhere. So he could drive along in a car with an open top car and not run the risk of being assassinated. Because he was loved by the nation. So they come up with this story, everybody was too frightened to protest, apart from these 300 communists who were basically in the camps.
There's a famous photograph in when the Germans move into Czechoslovakia, and it shows they're actually German minorities, these women, and they've got tears in their eyes as the troops are coming in because they've had some problems over there. And yet they've twisted it to say that, the tears were flooding are actually of despair because the Germans are coming into Czechoslovakia. Easily done. Doesn't take much.
You can see the smiles on their faces. I mean, they come up with all sorts of nonsense in that documentary. They say that Hitler was publishing Bibles with his own commandments in there, that the 12 commandments, that he was removing words. And they even claim that there was a prayer, the Hitler Youth were praying to him. And it sounds to me like it was just an oath, basically, an oath of loyalty to Hitler.
Well, to me, it sounded like God Save the Queen.
Yeah, that as well. Yeah, what's the difference between God Save the Queen and God Save the Führer? Is it like a similar thing? Saying a prayer for your leader. There's nothing wrong with that. Because and this is supposed to be an evangelical company that was making this. And they're saying that it's wrong to sort of pray for your leaders.
Well, it's funny because if ever I'm asked on YouTube, and it happens quite a lot, I'm a Christian, because there's so many different types of Christianity, especially in America, I always say they're traditional European, because otherwise, you don't know who you're talking to, what they're criticizing about you, because I am not a Christian in the fundamentalist, American Zionist, sort of Christianity.
Yeah, traditionalist Christian, biblical-based Christian.
That's right, European.
If you're a biblical-based Christian, it doesn't matter what denomination you're in, then you should be getting on with other Christians because, that's essentially it, isn't it, is understanding the Bible and following the Bible. And by that you mean against usury, against homosexuality, against miscegenation, against adultery. Against all the vices. And then it doesn't matter what denomination you are. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Protestant or Orthodox. You're all on the same side then. So that's what I would always say is just biblical based Christian.
Yeah.
Well, that's it from that video. I hope that debunks it well enough for Divine Soul Jar. Well, unsurprisingly, a large part of the criticism centres around Alfred Rosenberg, and we've done a podcast on Alfred Rosenberg before in the past, so I don't really want to repeat the material we did there, which I don't think we will do, actually. But the first bit that he says about Alfred Rosenberg, he comes out with a quote from The Myth of the 20th Century, and The Myth of the 20th Century is the book that Alfred Rosenberg wrote. It wasn't an official National Socialist book. I've read it a couple of times. I think it's a very interesting book. The general drift of it is basically that religion itself has become corrupted by Jewish ideas, and we need to remove the Jewish ideas from our religion, and we need a new myth for the 20th century to coalesce around, a new myth to inspire the race that does not have this Jewish influence in it. And that's basically trying to explain it in a nutshell, and it's a very complicated book. But straight off, he comes out with a quote from it, and he takes it out of context, and he misrepresents what it's actually saying. And his quote is, and this is from Alfred Rosenberg, "The dynamic German nature expresses itself in the Luciferian empirical." So, of course, what he's trying to imply is that Alfred Rosenberg was a Luciferian, which he clearly isn't. Now, I looked the full quote up, and the full quote says, the dynamic German nature never expresses itself in flight from the world, but in overcoming it, in struggle with it. This occurs in a twofold manner, in the godly, religious, artistic, metaphysical, and in the Luciferian, empirical. So it's saying on the spiritual side, it's godly and religious, and on the earthly side, it's Luciferian and conquering. And that's basically talking about the duality that there is within life. It's not saying that he's a Luciferian. He's talking about harnessing the power of the earth and science, which he sees as being Luciferian because it's worldly. And whereas the spiritual endeavors he would see as godly or Christly, because he certainly wasn't actually against Christ, and he saw Christ as Arian. And the next quote, he says, it is easy to understand that the Luciferian conquest of the world can easily become satanic. So what it's making clear there is that he doesn't see this Luciferian word that he's using, he doesn't see that as satanic. He sees when it becomes evil as being satanic. So really that quote
which sort of disproves it.
And then he calls Rosenberg a Satanist who Hitler put in charge of ideology. And, you know, there's another quote from Rosenberg that I found, and this is what he says. He says, Jesus is a linchpin of our history, the God of the Europeans. So a Satanist wouldn't be saying that. And he wasn't, I'm not sure he was in charge of ideology. I was looking up the things today, and I should have looked that up again. I think he was in charge of education or something like that, or making certain that there was no damaging stuff like communist stuff or pornography that was going to be available to the public. That sort of thing he was responsible for. He wasn't responsible for formulating the ideology of National Socialism, which is what they're implying here. They say he was a head of a district training department, said, and this is from the book, this is one of these anonymous people that give these quotes, a head of a district training department said, National Socialism is an ideology, and that ideology is to be found in Rosenberg's myth of the 20th century. This is the official attitude of the party and the Führer. It is quite clear that Hitler stood behind Rosenberg as he entrusted to him the ideological training of the party. Now, that's nonsense, and I've got some quotes.
That's a big statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I got some quotes later on that we can get into, but just to say here, the National Socialist ideology is to be found in Mein Kampf. It's not to be found in Rosenberg's myth. I mean, when did Rosenberg write his myth? Something like 1941,
1942? Well, I can remember Hitler putting the Vatican at ease by saying that this was just an individual's perception of things. It's nothing to do with National Socialism.
Hitler didn't really like it that much, and he didn't really want it that associated with National Socialism. It certainly wasn't put out as a
official
National Socialist book. It was put out under private publishing. To say that the ideology is found in that's to distract people from reading Mein Kampf and to distract people from looking at the 25 points plan, which are both explicitly Christian. The 25 point plan says that all the National Socialist ideology is rooted in Christianity and the version of Christianity that is positive Christianity. And it explains that. So, and it doesn't make any mention of Rosenberg or following anything that he says, because the National Socialist ideology was hit upon decades before this book actually came out. And also he mocked Rosenberg's book. As I say, I've got a quote later on that explains that. Yeah. And then it says Hitler praised Martin Luther. We'll accept that. He did praise Martin Luther, and he saw Martin Luther as a nationalist fighting against corrupt popes and a corrupt church and fighting against the Jews. He didn't support Martin Luther because he thought Martin Luther was going to destroy Christianity or he was a Satanist. They saw him as a German nationalist, and mainly because he fought against the Jews because of that book on the Jews and their lives.
That only came out at the end because we did a thing early on in the series. The Jews actually said that he was working for them and being financed by them. And it was only when he finally read the Talmud that he were more vicious than anybody, turning on the Jews.
Yeah, he was used by them. But obviously, you know, the National Socialists are looking back 400 years later, so they see the whole of his life and see that he wrote on the Jews and their lies. And this narrator, though, he then uses quotes from Table Talk about it, not a very reputable source. And the quote is,
not a source at all in my eyes.
Yeah, and the quote is, but Luther had the merit of rising against the Pope and the organization of the church. And again, you know, I can't really argue against that, because that does seem to me like something like Hitler would say, because they were against the organization of the church, the clericalism. Not the church itself, not Christianity, but against the clericalism that was in the church and the corruption and subversion of that by Jews.
And which he found at the heart of in the Centre Party, and their fight against him coming to power.
And that's why they got rid of the Centre Party.
Exactly.
with the church's blessing, because that was part of the corrupt organisation of it. And then there's another deceitful bit, and there's a quote, he talks about political faith, and talks about Hitler talking about political faith, and the narrator pretends that this really means religious faith, and that it actually means positive Christianity, which it isn't when you think about it. Faith is a conviction that a promise will be kept, and positive Christianity was about removing Jews from Christianity, eliminating the heresy of Judaizing from the church. So that's nothing to do with political faith. What political faith is a belief in the current political situation, a belief in your politicians, a belief in the political system. That's a political faith. And that's what Hitler was talking about. He wasn't saying that that National Socialism was going to replace the religious faith of Christianity. And I think that's a willful deceit there when he brings up this political faith. And people that don't really understand what the word faith means, you know, they might fall for that and think that that was actually what he was talking about. But you know, and the Jews
people don't research. That's a problem. They'll just take this at face value.
I'll say the Jews play into that. They say that faith is a belief in something that there's no evidence for. And that's not really it, because faith is when you have a conviction that a promise is going to be kept. And that conviction will be based upon logic. And it will be based upon reason. Like if you're trusting somebody that they're going to keep a promise, that will be based on whether they kept their promises before and whether they're a trustworthy person and whether they keep their word. But it's not a blind faith. So political faith, it's about politics. There's no reason to believe that that is going to have any religious connotations whatsoever. But because faith mainly gets used today to do with religion, this narrator tries to pretend that that's what's being talked about.
Yeah, he's kind of coming from the same angle as what the pagans are coming from. The pagans will say that Christianity is a Jewish religion. It's made the German people weak. We don't want any more of it. We're going to go back to our old gods. Which is half true in a sense, where Hitler is saying Christianity has been Judaized. We're going to take that out of Christianity, bring it back to what we believe it really was. But that's not paganism. As I said, he was still looking at Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he was still a believer of God. In fact, he felt that God had sent him there to promote this fight against the Jews.
It's interesting that this is the sort of stuff that the pagans go along with. You know, I found them repeating the sort of stuff that you read on the fundamentalist, or that you see on the fundamentalist YouTube channels, the really way out stuff that's, you know, attacking Hitler and saying that he was, you know, the Mein Kampf was going to be there on the altars and the children were all going to be saying prayers to Adolf Hitler and he was the Messiah. And, you know, and they're thinking this is great. And, you know, you try and explain to them, this is black propaganda. This was put out to make people hate Hitler. And you're thinking it's wonderful. Because you're so uneducated, basically, because white people have fallen so far from where we once were that we fall for this sort of nonsense.
There's also someone had a go at me again with this Hitler paganism thing, but you could tell how he was actually, or she was actually writing. the fact that the seeds of all this came not from facts, but from the hatred of Christianity that they had for it. It really was that obvious.
The next quote is from Pope Pius XI again, and he says, in the name of so-called positive Christianity, efforts are being made to de-Christianize Germany and lead her back to barbarous paganism. Close quote. And that's the sort of thing the pagans will leap on. Exactly. And they'll believe that. That's black propaganda. Positive Christianity was nothing to do with paganism. I mean, there was books written about it, and it was based on de-Judaizing Germany. That's what they were doing, de-Judaizing Germany. And the progressives in the church didn't like that, just the same as today. They love their Jews today. Well, they did back then as well, and didn't like it.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to tell you this story, is that there was a pagan who frequently visited the channel when I was on YouTube. And I would let him have his say, and I would debunk it, but, you know, I didn't exactly ban him. And he'd come back every now and again after a video had been completed and say his piece. And he got to a point where I actually had Adolf Hitler saying in the series, he will defend Christianity, not just in words, but in actions. And he's mentioned this in a couple of speeches, you know, there's quotes from it. So it got to a point where I said to this pagan, look, it's getting to a point now, do you believe Hitler was a liar? And he said, yeah. So I said, well, that's about it now. Now you are banned.
Well, that is what they're making it out, isn't it? They're saying Hitler was just lying to everybody. But the church itself, the church was embarrassed about the way it had treated the Jews in the past. Don't forget, most of the laws that the National Socialists enacted against Jews actually came originally from the Catholic Church, putting them in ghettos, making them wear that Jewish star, making them wear clothing, banning them from marrying Christians. All of that was church laws. And the church wanted to distance itself from that. So when the National Socialists started doing all this again, they said, oh, no, they're persecuting Christianity. They're going against Christianity. They're de-Christianizing Germany. That's what he's referring to, is the treatment of the Jews. And as we've said before, when they talk about the persecution of the Catholics, putting them in camps, that there were communists that happened to be Catholic and happened to be Catholic priests. Don't forget all the attacks that the progressive part of the Catholic Church led against the National Socialists in the last 2 years before they got elected, where they were refusing them absolution of their sins and refusing to allow them to be buried in hallowed ground. And you had a large contingent of progressive Catholics and progressive Protestants, but mainly progressive Catholics that did have to be dealt with. Nothing to do with going back to paganism, though. That's
no, just... well, it's similar to the like Mosley over here and the people who didn't want to war with Germany. You know, they were put in prison. He spoke up against the state.
And he continues, Catholics were being persecuted for their love of Christ by persons who represented themselves as being adherents of positive Christianity. Well, both of those things can't be true. If it was by an adherent of positive Christianity, then there's no way that the persecution was for their love of Christ. It was for their love of Jews. That's the point. Catholics that were hiding Jews were probably being reported by the adherents of positive Christianity. And that's not being persecuted for their love of Christ. That's because they're refusing to let go of their Judaizing heresy. They say, a people who suggested that the church was oppressed in Germany would be rewarded with a sentence of imprisonment. Again, that's sedition, isn't it? If you've got the rest of the world that are coming out with these lies, and then you've got people within Germany that are aiding and abetting the enemy by encouraging these lies, then, you know, they should be sentenced to imprisonment, because that's treason, isn't it? That's going on there.
The whole world was against Hitler at the end, and that makes it look like Hitler was in the wrong to a lot of people. But in actual fact, there's cases where America put pressure on countries to actually declare war. They didn't exactly send troops, but they declared war. One of them was Argentina. And they threatened Argentina, if you don't sign this and declare war on Germany, we will arm Brazil. Well, at that time, there was some antagonism going on between the two. Then Argentina declares war on Germany, but in a matter of months, if not less, you know, they were taking National Socialists by the thousands. So there is this, you know, squeeze put on countries around the world to make it look that the Allies were the good guys and in the right. And John Amery, for instance, who actually left this country to join the Germans in the fight for Christianity. A video recently when I put up and was taken down off YouTube when the channel came down was when he turned around and said that the Allies were the traitors to mankind and to Christianity. And his father was in Churchill's cabinet. So he would have been, you know, more in line with this than anybody, which is why, of course, he didn't want to fight for Stalin and left, you know, to fight with Hitler.
Well, they understood the power of propaganda as well. If you got people that are reporting to the Allied newspapers that the church are being oppressed, you know, that's going to cause problems. It's like when that order was given out that nobody is to... Anybody that keeps talking about gas chambers when there aren't any is to be punished for that.
Yeah.
Because it's spreading these malicious rumors, basically. Well, next bit, it talks about a first state prize for art and science that's been awarded to Rosenberg. Now, it's a prize for art and science, first off. It's not a prize for ideology. And apparently the document accompanying it says that Rosenberg has in a scientific and penetrating manner laid the firm foundation for an understanding of the ideological basis of National Socialism. Now, I would suggest, I haven't actually seen that document, but I would suggest that that would a document that had probably accompanied all of these prizes. And what it was saying that whatever grade that he has managed to get to, it's just saying that he has, in a scientific and penetrating manner, laid the firm foundation for an understanding of the ideological basis of NS. That's not what the prize was given him for. That's just saying that he understands the ideological basis of NS. It's not saying he dreamt them up. He thought them up. He wrote them down for everyone else to read. It's saying that he understands the ideological basis of NS, and it was nothing to do with the prize that was given him because that was for art and science. And yet they say... This can only mean that Rosenberg's book was regarded in the highest quarters as one whose works expound the ideology of National Socialism and were not merely his own private speculations. So they disprove that themselves, but I've got these quotes here that I wanted to read about his book. Let me see if I've got them here. And this is from The Holy Reich, Nazi Conceptions of Christianity, 1919 to 1945 by Richard Steigman Gull, which we've used quite a few times on here, and I do recommend it. And this is entitled The Myth of Rosenberg. Perhaps the most prominent paganist in the Nazi Party was Alfred Rosenberg. More than any other National Socialist, Rosenberg had pretensions to becoming the movement's great intellect and official ideologue, but he failed in both efforts. Early scholars of Nazism, taking Rosenberg's self-promotion at face value, greatly overestimated the importance of his ideas for the movement as a whole. The sheer volume of published works and administrative paperwork produced by Rosenberg and his offices lent weight to this impression. Karl Brascher came somewhat close to gauging Rosenberg's true influence when he described him as the administrative clerk of National Socialist ideology. However, even in his role as protector of the Nazi worldview, scholars have shown that Rosenberg encountered resistance and ultimate defeat at the hands of rival offices within the Nazi Party and state. In spite of these findings, however, other scholars, especially those who espouse political religion theories of Nazism, still maintain that Rosenberg's ideas were hegemonic in the party. By far the most important of his books was The Myth of the 20th Century, published in 1930. Significantly, it was published as a private work, never becoming an official guide to Nazi thinking, as Mein Kampf was. It never received the official stamp of the NSDAP, nor did the party's official publisher publish it. Given the fate that awaited Dinter and Ludendorff when they tried to make their religious views official party doctrine, Hitler would not have countenanced its publication in any other way. Indeed, in the same book that put forth a new religious doctrine, Rosenberg felt compelled to assure his reader that he was not trying to resurrect a dead religion and that it should not be Nazi policy to engage in religious matters. Most of Rosenberg's opponents in the churches assumed that it was, nonetheless, the true guide to Nazi thinking. Some people even supposed it was more influential in the NSDAP than Hitler's own book. The party, in fact, largely ignored it,
as Rosenberg himself would later discover. Over 700 pages long, it was easily the most abstruse book ever written by a Nazi. In keeping with their own religious views, party leaders like Hitler and Goebbels heaped enormous scorn upon it. According to one biographer, Hitler completely rejected the mysticism with which Rosenberg, in his main work, attempted to give a religious intensity to a racist interpretation of history. Goebbels was characteristically succinct, describing the book as an ideological belch. Although Hitler was known for tailoring his remarks to please his audience, even in Rosenberg's presence he was less than enthusiastic. Before publishing it, Rosenberg asked Hitler for his opinion of the book. 6 months after receiving the manuscript, Hitler had still not read it. Hitler coolly replied, "It is a very clever book, only I ask myself, who today is likely to read and understand such a book?" It was a reflection of the insecurity of Rosenberg's position that he replied by asking whether he should suppress it or even resign from his party office. Hitler supposedly said no to both, maintaining that Rosenberg had a right to publish his book as it was his intellectual property. However, on later occasions, Hitler would express regret that Rosenberg had written the book in the first place. According to Albert Speer, Hitler referred to it as "stuff nobody can understand," written by a narrow-minded Baltic German who thinks in horribly complicated terms, a relapse into medieval notions. On another occasion, Hitler made reference to its heretical outpourings. In rare moments, Rosenberg even admitted to himself that Hitler ultimately rejected his religion. Hitler set his face from the beginning against racial cultism. Although it is true that Rosenberg's mythos sold hundreds of thousands of copies, this figure is not a real reflection of its popularity. As another of Rosenberg's biographers points out, secondary schools and institutions of higher education were required to have copies in their libraries, but to what extent these were read cannot now be estimated. We can therefore safely discount Robert Poy's assertion that Rosenberg's view of religion was widely held by most committed National Socialists. And I think we can leave it there. I think that, you know, that explains it, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly sounds like his Mein Kampf, did it?
No, well, this is the thing. He had a rather high opinion of himself. And a lot of stuff has been found of him explaining his high opinion of himself, but the truth of it is that he really wasn't that well thought of. And the book didn't go. Yeah, the book didn't go to the schools. It certainly wasn't the ideological basis of National Socialism. It was just his ideas, whether they're right or wrong.
We're always going to be jumped on.
And I mean, this guy that's making this video is trying to claim that it was regarded in the highest quarters as a book whose works expounded the ideology of NS. You know, it's just bunkum, really.
Yeah.
What is the next point here? Then he brings up the 25-point program, and he complains that Hitler doesn't show any bias between Catholic and Protestant, because in the 25-point program it says, we're not going to have any bias towards whatever confession. You can be a Christian, and it doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Protestant, is basically what it says. And so the guy that made the video is basically inferring that because Hitler didn't kick all the Protestants out, he must be a heretic. So this is what I'm saying. The guy's, you know, he sounds a traditionalist, but he's fallen for this black propaganda, basically. It'd be nice if we could...
Well, Hitler was always hoping that the Protestants would, you know, reinstate with Catholics. Anyway, that would have been the intention with positive Christianity, because he didn't want any splinter groups or splits. You know, he wanted that solid base of Christianity. And he always felt that, and even tried to talk to the Protestants at one point, but was getting nowhere. And then he just said, well, you know, it's not really my job anyway, and left it as it was. But his sole intention was always, you know, his wish was that they would, you know, all join together again.
He put a lot of work into that. That was a dream of his, really.
It really was, yeah.
Was stopping the animosity between the two factions of the church. Pope Eugene, we're next get a quote from him, from 1441, where he's talking about excommunicating everyone that's outside the Catholic Church, so excommunicating all the
all the Protestants. It's funny that this guy will bring out quotes like that.
Yeah.
He won't bring up the quotes where they expel the Jews and get the Jews to wear special clothes and put them in ghettos and can't marry Christians. He doesn't bring up any of that.
He won't mention Freemasonry either, which over the past, 60 years, the Catholic Church has totally ignored the traditional way of looking at Freemasonry, and now openly say that Catholics can join Freemasonry, and simply the reason being because Freemasonry took over the Catholic Church. Yeah, he's not mentioning that.
Complete about turn. And next they say that they wanted to make National Socialism into a religion, and you get people today that try and claim that, nationalists that will try and claim that, even though, you know, everything you read that Hitler ever said, he was totally against that. I've just got one of his quotes here. He said, "National Socialism is not a religious reformation, but a political reorganization of our people." So he's quite explicit there. Not a religion, yeah. And he certainly didn't want to be seen as a religious figure, a messiah or anything like that. He was a messiah figure for the German people because he reinvigorated them, but not in any spiritual sense or religious sense, as in somebody that should be worshipped. He was just somebody that should be thanked.
Yeah, next, he kind of prayed for a messiah to deliver him from the pain and suffering that Germany had been going through since World War One. Even previously, and he did deliver. There's no doubt about it. He did deliver.
He was the answer to their prayers.
That's right.
Next, there's a bit where it talks about, and I've heard this before, about the crucifixes all being removed from the schools and replaced with pictures of Hitler. Now, I can't find that much information about that. Crucifixes get removed from schools today. They're supposed to be secular. You could get complaints about having them in schools today because it's not supposed to be overly biased towards any religion in particular. But one thing I could say about this is that would have been in state schools, and the Catholics had their own schools, the Protestants had their own schools, and the state schools had their own schools. Now, it could be that the Protestants didn't use crucifixes, and if they were putting crucifixes up in the state schools, that was seen as being Catholic and showing favour to the Catholics. So that is a reason why they may not have had crucifixes in there. But go on, Dennis.
Yeah, you see sometimes footballers come in onto a pitch and they'll give the sign of the cross, which immediately you know is a Catholic. But there was some conflict in Austria where Hitler closed Catholic schools. There was some reason which would have been to do with the left wing, I've got no doubt. And so that was then taken on board that he hated Catholicism. But, this was in Austria, which was out of the control of Germany up till, the Anschluss. So obviously there was some serious surgery needed to combat whatever went on before.
Oh, they definitely needed surgery, you call it that. Next, the next bit that I took from the video is he gives another quote from Rosenberg. And he says, "Negative and positive Christianity were locked in conflict from the beginning, and that conflict today is being waged with ever more bitterness." Now, I don't know what the author of the video thought that meant, but that's quite clear to me that he's talking about Judaizing. That was the heresy right from the beginning, was Judaizing. As I said, it's mentioned in the book of Acts, I think, and in Galatians, and that's always been the conflict between the traditionalists and the progressives, the Jew lovers, And the people that want to be apart from the Jews, basically, and don't want that in their religion. And that's all that he's talking about. So I don't know, whether he thinks that Rosenberg was saying that, positive Christianity was paganism. I don't see where he can get that logic from, because it's quite clear he's talking about Judaism there.
And look at Christ and you look at the way what Hitler was trying to do, example, the hatred of usury. They both saw this as, anti-Christian. But this is never brought up on these websites. We've now bowed to usury.
Well, that's a good example there, Dennis, I think, because usury is so associated with Jewry, isn't it? Totally associated with Judaism. So to be against usury was to be against Judaism. That was trying, and to try and stop usury from being allowed, that's trying to stop Jewish ideas making their way into Christianity. That's positive Christianity. That's being against Judaizing. It's a good example.
And negative Christianity is not criticizing the church today for accepting it.
Going along with it. He's got another quote from Rosenberg. The negative type, and this is talking about church priests, emphasizes Levantine Etruscan tradition. And Levantine Etruscan means Jewish. The leaven is, you know, where the Jews come from. And in his book, he talks about these actual pagan ideas, these orgies and phallic symbols and all this sort of stuff that was in that was part of the Etruscan civilization before the Romans took it over. And again, that was Canaanite mixed race orgies, goddesses, and he's against that. And again, that's what a lot of pagans today think is, you know, think that's great, following the goddess. But that's what Rosenberg is saying here needs kicking out of the church, Levantine Etruscan tradition. The author claims that magazines, books, etc., are attacking Christianity, and the actual image shown to illustrate this, on one side of it, it's got a Jew molesting a woman, while on the other side of it, it's got a pious priest and a nun that are shown as doing the complete opposite. The priest isn't molesting the nun; they're being pious and Christian. And on the other side, you've got the Jew with a rabbi's hat on, and he's molesting a woman. And yet, according to the author on the video, this is a cartoon that's attacking Christianity. And you know, this makes it clear that what was really being attacked was Judaism, and the Jew lovers in the church weren't happy about that, so they called it attacking Christianity. And you know, you couldn't get more obvious than that. Picture.
I mean, at the end of the day, you've got two types of websites. You've got some websites where they're saying Hitler's Christian and they will quote you and there'll be 100 quotes. And then you'll get the other type of website which will be saying he was pagan, anti-Christian, and they will dig up these quotes, like you said, mostly anonymous, mostly from table talks. And, you know, people will believe what they want to believe.
Well, that's why it's good that we debunk them like this. You know, it's good of people to send them in and say, will we debunk them? And then it's got it says about positive Christianity, this is another anonymous quote, it would have to prove its readiness to give absolute service and undivided allegiance to the great national community. Well, what's wrong with that?
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that. And then you've got Caius Fabricius, who is the author of the book on positive Christianity. And there's a quote from him, and it says, positive Christianity has grown and become as one with the spirit of the German nation throughout the history of the centuries. Again, what's wrong with that?
Well, to be honest, the underlying question to all of this is, why are they putting so much effort into saying he wasn't Christian? What reason have they got to be so intense to say that he wasn't Christian?
And so desperate, aren't they? Yeah. Desperate to prove that. Yeah. Putting these videos out. And finally, the final pictures on the video, it shows a black magic altar, and it claims that positive Christianity was simply paganism, and it calls Hitler satanic. Which, you know, I don't know where, black and white picture of a black magic altar with a pentagram, I don't know where that ever appeared.
I think it would be Freemasonry.
All we can do is hope that, you know, the person that made that video, maybe they'll have a listen to this podcast and realise that, you know, they've been hoodwinked, really, and that they should investigate this a little bit more. But I do think it's good we debunk them, Dennis.
Well, nobody else seems to be doing it.
Yeah, so if people find stuff like that, then please do drop them in the comment section or drop in the chat room and let us know.
You've just been listening to myself and Dennis Wise discussing Alfred Rosenberg from a year or two back. As soon as I hear something from Dennis, I will leave a message in the chat room, or I will say on the next episode of Truthful Out Radio, please remember him in your prayers. And of course, thank you very much for listening and have a great weekend.